Our second scripture reading comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we pray for our words, those which we speak, and those which remain in our hearts. May our words be true and faithful to your word, who is Jesus Christ. Amen. Come with me to Jerusalem. Walk her narrow, curving streets with tall walls on either side. Watch your step, though, as you trod over the cobblestones and climb up and down her stepped hills. Wind your way to that room where Peter and the other disciples are gathered. John, James, Andrew, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and other men and women who only 7 weeks earlier had experienced the risen Lord, Jesus himself. Only a few short weeks since Jesus had answered their questions about the kingdom being restored with the puzzling answer that it is not for humans to know the times, but that they would receive the Holy Spirit and be Jesus' witnesses in Jerusalem. Only a short time since Jesus had been lifted up into the air while they were watching, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And now they are gathered in this room, coping, or trying to cope, trying to figure out why the kingdom didn't come, and why Jesus was not the king who ushered in peace and unity. Rather than formulating their own ideas, though, or making their own plans, they are simply praying. Acts 1:14 says that those who were gathered were constantly devoting themselves to prayer. And while they are gathered, suddenly a noise, a giant whooshing sound sweeps over them. And with the wind comes tongues of fire over each of their heads, and the sure and certain knowledge of another language is given to each of them so that each person can tell the story of Jesus in a different language, reaching the Parthians, the Medes and Arabs, and all the Jews who had been scattered in exile but now returned to Jerusalem again. Each Jew gathered in the city can hear in his or her own language, the fulfillment of the Hebrew scriptures, that the Messiah has indeed come to earth and is now risen in heaven. Those who only know one language mock these disciples. They've had too much to drink, they joke. But no, says Peter, for it's only the morning. And instead he lays out the prophecy from Joel, the promises given that God will pour out God's Spirit on all flesh, and that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Today is Pentecost, that day we celebrate the very acts of Acts 2, the quote-unquote birthday of the church by the power of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost falls 50 days after Easter, often coinciding with the Jewish feast of Shavuot, which falls 50 days after Passover. The Feast of Shavuot is when Jews celebrate the giving of the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. So it's especially fitting that as Christians, we then celebrate the giving of God's Holy Spirit on this day. I was in Jerusalem the week before Pentecost in 2008. I walked some of the same paths and was shaded from the sun by some of the very same walls. Descendants of early shopkeepers promised me 3 for $10, the same way they haggled over loaves of bread and bottles of oil with the disciples. I worshiped in German and Italian and heard Arabic, Hebrew, Spanish, and languages that I can't even identify with from their sounds. I was often struck in Jerusalem by the variety. Three faiths, of course, are dominant: Jews, Muslims, and Christians all crowd their pilgrims in to see the holy sites. But even in the Christian sites, there are so many people of different nationalities and beliefs and practices. I was surrounded with icons and incense, neither of which I have ever used for worship. Saints were in art everywhere. Their significance and symbolism in the art beyond my understanding. I was trampled on in a church by a bustling group of Orthodox believers, and I was knocked out of line by a group of Italian Christians. I had to remind myself, among the chaos, that we are indeed all God's children. I was also struck by the number of walls. One church was not able to share her space with another denomination without arguing over borders. Even the janitors fought over floor space. Walls around Bethlehem, walls around the old city of Jerusalem, walls around one belief or another. Pentecost brings the pointed reminder that even though there is variety in our Christian faith, we are all of the same Creator. Varieties of service, but all brothers and sisters in Christ. Varieties of services, but all brothers and sisters following the same Lord. Varieties of gifts, but all from the same Spirit. Paul's reminder of this in Corinthians is vitally important for us to remember when we think of the Holy Spirit. Most of us are familiar with the story of Babel in Genesis. Early on in civilization, all people spoke one language, the story goes, as they gathered together, plotting to build a tower to the heavens. God confuses their words so that they speak many different languages and are spread throughout the earth. Pentecost is a way of rejoining us back together again, of regathering all of God's people to understand the grace and peace and power of God in Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. The gift of Pentecost is not simply that the Holy Spirit showed up like wind and fire, but that the Holy Spirit showed up to pull us together, to unite us in one spirit, even in a variety of languages and peoples, a variety of beliefs and concerns, a variety of backgrounds and views. As Romans reminds us, all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. This unity gives us courage because we know wherever we are, wherever we journey, we are not alone. That passage from Romans continues, "For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption." We have God's presence wherever we go, through the Holy Spirit, and by that same Spirit, we are joined to one another. We hear each year how the early church began, and how the Spirit was given to those disciples some 2,000 years ago. Because Pentecost is a pointed reminder of that, but it is also a reminder that that same Spirit is at work in us, now transforming us into the body of Christ, moving in us, drawing us closer to God, and prophesying to our Lord Jesus Christ's saving power. As Peter quotes from the prophet Joel, "Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." We could use a little bit of that vision, couldn't we? In a congregation that is aging, in a denomination that is declining, in a culture that no longer and will never again care that Sunday mornings were once sacred, having a vision for something good to come is important. We cannot hope to have better days if we're already certain that our best days are behind us. We could use a good dose of vision as a congregation as to what happens next at Westminster. What would this church look like? Not the building. The building is just architecture. But the actual church, you, the people, if you actually believed that your best days were yet to come, if even the eldest of us could see a bright and exciting future for this congregation's ministry, what would it look like? It would look like Pentecost. The Holy Spirit strengthened and transformed uneducated fishermen from the country into preachers in the middle of the city of Jerusalem, like Peter standing around with the 11 speaking, preaching from the upper room. And the Holy Spirit is still at work today, inspiring those same dreams of God's deeds of power and our hope in the Lord. May we, too, see visions of healing and restoration, of peace and kindness. May we too dream dreams of unity with one another and justice for all of God's creation. May it be so. Amen.